Hello, everybody. Welcome. Brand new episode of 30 on Broadway after the Rangers bounce back with a big win over the Columbus Blue Jackets at home. It was a February to remember. Rangers 10-1. They started off the month rolling through. Well, they finished January with the win over the Ottawa Senators and rolled that into a nice 10-game win streak before.
Connor Mackey, the GOAT. We
Connor
will not
Mackey,
forget. We will not forget Connor Mackey at the Cup Parade.
everybody, with the with Rempe and deservedly so. Connor Mackey kind of started that. It was Connor Mackey. That was the Trouba toss, the helmet toss. That was our helmet toss this year. Was Connor Mackey? Unfortunately, he got hurt. He was in Hartford. He got sent back to Hartford, and he got hurt. I don't know if he's back in the lineup or if he got like long term hurt. But anyways.
It's a shame. Connor Mackey, the GOAT. We love Connor
It
Mackey.
was a,
Thank you
it,
for saving our season.
yeah, save the season, steered the ship in the right direction. The Rangers ran through February just quick. And I mean, this is impressive runs as Nick is popping open his Red Bull. Is that the water?
Pop
The
a top for the working man.
Papa Top. All right, Alan Jackson.
Pop the top again.
We're gonna talk about the wonderful month of February. That's bringing us to Mika March,
Mika
which
March.
we'll get into as well. Really quick, we had fun. So Nick and I were both at the game last night, and it's become.
was some of the most fun we've had in a while. I mean, outside of the Stadium Series game, which was absolutely sensational, which I hope the guys in front of us who just laughed at everything I said at the Stadium Series, I hope they're doing well. I don't know where you guys are, but I hope you're somewhere doing all right. I appreciate you.
Those guys were eating up everything, every word. It was just ridiculous.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah,
It's like I was performing to an audience. I loved
it was. And then so Nick has built upon that,
it.
and we're at the game. Oh God, we're at the game last night, and there's just, we were kicking around the idea of just putting on like a recorder. And just recording the game, like our back and forth, which thankfully we probably, I mean, not maybe not thankfully, maybe we should do this for a game. If I
Well,
had battery life on my phone, I would have done it. But
to be fair, I mean, pretty much what we say at the game, we say right here on the podcast. Like, I'm probably no
yeah,
different. Maybe
no.
about there's about 6 degrees of difference for me on the podcast than there is to me at a
Not
game.
necessarily talking about you or I. I'm talking about the people that were behind us.
Oh, the people that were behind us were just incredible.
I mean, there was one point
Incredible.
where, I mean, Merzlikins was just absurd in net. I mean, the Rangers fell into a trap and a lull in that game, and Igor, who's been Igor, and is back 100%, really kind of held firm. Because the Rangers threw 17 shots on goal in the first period. The game should have probably been 5-0 by the end of the first.
In the first period.
Yeah, I mean, Merzlikins played that good. And Soto saves, like the bang bang pad save, the sprawling save on, what was that, the 2-on-1
Oh, Panarin.
that he made. I mean, it was ridiculous. Just ridiculous saves. The glove saves, just
Panarin probably
standing.
should have had a 4 or 5 point night, not just a 3 point night.
Yeah, I mean, Merzlikins, hats off to him.
Well, he's showcasing to get
He
out of slumps.
showcased himself because he's another Blue Jacket that's like, I want the hell out of here. And
Pat Verbeek saw him last night. He's going to be like, "Hey, JD, what do you want for Elvis
He right
Merzlikins?"
that yeah I mean maybe that's the call I'm making if I'm Pat Verbeek. I mean maybe
You
but
trade Gibby to a contender, or another team that needs goaltending.
Merzlikins was bought was I mean it was just it was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. And you had the group around us was fantastic. The couple that were in front of us were so much better than
Oh my God,
the
the
so-called influencers that were like live streaming their like food choices and just it was so bad. The game, I think it was the game prior that you and I went to.
it was the Canuck game.
I said it was a couple of weeks ago that there was the video that we found, but it was the Canucks game And it was the couple sitting in front. I mean, it was ridiculous. Everybody was just sitting there like, you just, it's just cringing. It was cringy.
I wanted to throw up from watching that Canuck game, and then the couple in front of us, the influencers, made it that much worse. I wanted to
Yeah,
throw up even
and that
more.
was kind of what spurred a little bit of like our video about the Carnegie pastrami Reuben, which we'll talk about later because that
Oh,
was, oh my
fantastic.
God.
Absolutely hit.
And we're prime rib, we're prime rib aficionados here.
Yeah, we were telling other people not to get it so they wouldn't sell out so we could
Yeah.
get it.
And
And
then we're walking by Carnegie and we're like, do I
then
smell pastrami Reuben?
we watched it. Oh, I was like, oh my God, a pastrami sandwich on rye. Let's go.
And
And I got a Knish, and the Knish was fire.
you know what I felt bad about, and I know we're getting off here, but that's whatever. At Grant, so there's a couple of things that I will always do after a Ranger game if I'm taking the train out, which is 9 out of 10 times.
You didn't get your 99-cent slice last night.
If I have had a bit, maybe not necessarily too much to drink or too much to drink, but if I've had like a little bit to drink and I need to kind of like walk it off, I won't do my like one train to the shuttle or seven over to Grand Central and stay, you know, do the subways. I'll walk it. I'll walk all the way to Grand Central, or I'll walk from Times Square to Grand Central or whatever. But on the way, there's two places. There's one behind Grand Central and there's one right outside the Garden, 99 cent pizza. Now, the sound of it and the looks of it says, Jesus, run. But I'm telling you, this is my insider tip to you folks. If you're at the Garden and you need something to kind of soak up whatever you've been drinking, you can't
Yeah,
go wrong. You cannot go wrong with the slice.
if you need something to soak up your $16 beer, which is what I paid for my Kona last
Yeah,
night.
I mean,
But I don't regret it because Kona is absolutely delicious, so.
yeah, and but again, it's not a bad option. Now, I'm not saying like make it date night or go there and make that like a regular, but
I'll make that a date night.
in
I'll
that
make that a date
situation, yeah, you're like the Costco guy.
night.
In that situation, you kind of can't go wrong. So I didn't do that. So I ended up walking from Times Square to Grand Central, and I get in and I'm like, you know what? Frankie's downstairs is open in the dining concourse. Now Frankie's has amazing knishes. Amazing knishes. And I'm like, my track was 111. It's right there, right next to it. I'm in line. I could see a couple of Knishes. Guess what happens? They get up to me because Nick's not going to, apparently, Nick fell asleep here. They get up to me
I'm reading. It's trade deadline season.
and I'm like, is there any left? And he goes, nah, man, we just sold the last one. I'm like, oh
Oh.
my God. I'm like, all right, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But I was completely satisfied with the pastrami from Carnegie. That was dynamite. So we made a TikTok on our brand new TikTok channel. Go find us, go look at us. Even on our Instagram, we're trying to build that up, and you know, big thanks to Liz for kind of undertaking that and helping us do things that we can't seem to figure out. But we posted a video, so we did the video of Nick, you know, at first being Nick. And then I had to, you know, kind of like
You got so mad. Like
fatherly
you really did.
redirect him.
You really had your dad moment right there. Like I was
And
like, what the hell? I was like,
I
Jesus
was gonna
Christ. I
go
was like,
somewhere a little further with it, and I was like, oh no, I can't. I was like, I gotta stop myself. But
I'm not Joey. You don't have to talk to me this way. Like, I was like, damn.
I so we made that video, and the whole time we're making the video, I'm thinking of the couple in front of us when they were like showing off their hot dogs and their beer, and they were doing Instagram live and just, it was just barf worthy. It was barf. The whole thing was just horrible. So anyways, go check that out. But the guys behind us and the couple that were to our left were just, they were hysterical the whole freaking game. Nick was coming up with stuff. The guy behind us at one point, Elvis looked like he got hurt, and he's like doing the stanky leg in the crease, and he keeps
No,
shaking it out.
he was not doing the staggy leg.
He kept shaking it out, and I'm like, oh damn, he's hurt. He's hurting a little bit, you know, and he's trying to stretch it. The guy behind us just goes, oh, he's just jerking off in the crease.
Yeah, I was like, oh boy.
And I'm like, there's two kids, like right there.
Yeah,
It was just the whole game. The whole game was hilarious in that regards because they were just. So I don't know. Maybe next game we'll do that. Maybe next game we'll record. Just leave it there and just as a nonsense, whatever. But anyways, a little bit more fun with the game was at some point they always do the like celebrities, and pretty much everybody in our section, like in our immediate area of our section, kind of had this like same reaction when they brought up a Boogie with the Hoodie.
A Boogie with the Hoodie. Now, please, it now I listen to rap music more so than Chris does. Okay. I have no idea who the hell this dude was. I
Well, if
would
they would have
not
said,
know.
I mean, I didn't know either, but like his name, Julius DeBose, sounds a hell of a lot better.
I would not have known this dude if I hit him with my car. Okay.
So I think he's more in like the trap genre.
Like
So like Travis
it
Scott kind of.
If anybody knows who this dude is, please
Well,
tweet me on Twitter and just let me know that like you actually know who he is. And you know, well, I mean, when we were leaving the garden, evidently these girls in this coming down
lost their
34th
minds.
Street just absolutely went ballistic. Oh my God! Oh my God! She's crying right now. Please let us take a picture with you.
And Nick and
Please.
I are wondering
And we're
what
like, who
ranger, like,
the
who the
hell?
hell is
Like,
in my car?
I was like, is that Henrik Lundqvist? Like, was
And then
he
he got out.
actually?
I mean, what
And
the, like,
then,
it was really awesome on him. He got out of the car and
yeah.
was taking pictures with them. But, like, these girls were like, it was literally, like,
They lost their
they were
minds.
nuts. And everybody's like walking out of the garden. They're all stopping to look and be like, what the hell is going on?
And of course, me naturally, Chris, you know, is about a couple feet away from me. And Chris is like, who the hell? And I turn around as soon as I see him get out. I'm like, yo, it's
I
A
was
Boogie with
gonna
the hoodie. And
tell.
like three people stop to stare at me. Like,
You're
like
like, who? I
I
was
was
gonna
like,
tell
yo,
Nick, go
I don't
run
know
up
who
to
he
him
is
and be
either.
like, we do a segment.
Yeah, oh God.
Because yeah, that would have been whatever. But
I
that was funny.
I
The
was gonna go up to him and
trivia.
be like, oh, the trivia one was great. The girl had no idea, didn't know what a beeper was,
Yeah, the
didn't know,
beeper.
like it went through all this, you
The
know,
floppy
I'm
disk.
you floppy disk and Chris said, never mind, I'm not gonna say what Chris
I said,
said.
no, because that was actually a joke. This was a joke. This is how inappropriate. In high school, there was a joke that our computer science teacher had said to like one of the girls in my class. I will never forget this for as long as I live, because it was, I'm thinking about it and I'm like, this was really inappropriate. But he was like, this is a floppy disk. And he took it out and he's like shaking it. He goes, we don't use these anymore. He's like, but some of you like to get floppy disks excited, and then they turn it to a hard disk. And he pulled out a hard disk and he said this in the classroom. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. I think I was a sophomore or junior in high school.
Wow.
And he like threw, the dude was insane. He would come in and like throw computers and stuff. He'd be like, this computer is worthless. And just like slam it on the ground. You're like, what the f-? Like dude's nuts. But like, I'll never forget that joke because it was so ridiculous and it's incredibly stupid. But anyways. So then they showed the Furby and like, I'm like, oh, you think that's hard? Show him a Tamagotchi. And Nick's like, a Tamagotchi.
First off, it's a Tamagotchi.
Gotchi, Gucci, whatever.
No, Gucci is a clothing brand.
I only had the fancy ones when I was growing up.
Oh, okay.
It was funny because everybody started laughing and then they showed one on the screen. And I'm like, oh shit. So yeah, there you go. All right, let's jump into our shit for today. So again, it was a February to remember. 10-1 run. They matched the franchise record of 10 wins in a row. They got snapped, of course, by the Columbus game. It felt like that was inevitable or coming because Columbus is that team for the Rangers. It's almost like every good team has that one team that is a cellar dweller, and it's like a cellar dweller demon. And they're going to cause you fits. They're going to whatever. I feel like in every level. We even had that in college and youth. Maybe you play down to your opponent or so, or maybe it's just your opponent. It to them, it's such a big deal. It's such a big game. Like we joked about the Islanders. the Stadium Series was the Islanders Stanley Cup game, and that's why they're so bent and hurt the fans over the fact that they lost that game, because that was their season. But you have it's like every team has that group, and for whatever reason, the Blue Jackets just they play hard. Elvis Merzlikins gave them a chance in that game in the first period where they were getting their stuff pushed in, and they came back and they played hard nosed the rest of the way. So it just, that's what they are. That's what they're gonna do. It is what it is. But we finish off the month. It's over. 10-1 record running, and some of those wins that we picked up, nothing to sniff at. The big come from behind win over the Colorado Avalanche at the beginning of the month. The big win over the shutout victory over the Calgary Flames, with Markstrom in net, who played like Nick had mentioned, Merzlikins looked like Markstrom. It was like Markstrom 2.0 in that game. And then, of course, the Rangers won that one 2-0. They beat up the Montreal Canadiens 7-4. Earlier than that, they had that Tampa game where they probably had their best game of the month, I would argue, where they looked as complete top to bottom. When they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, of course the epic comeback in the Stadium Series, and then they went on that little roll against Dallas, the Devils, who they punched in, and the Devils were in their spiral. The Flyers with a tough, gritty, kind of ugly game, but a win nonetheless. And then of course they bounced back after the loss to Columbus, and they finish it off with a nice 4-1 win. First team in the NHL to 40. I don't really care about it, to be honest. It's nice. I like it that we're up on the top. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. It isn't going to mean jack squat. I mean, we've seen that for years, where teams roll through and whatnot. The good thing on it is the Rangers got the first team to 40 wins, but they haven't free coasted or had like a. They weren't like the Boston Bruins last year, where the Bruins kind of just ran through things and never really looked to have any sort of struggles. The Rangers have had those throughout the season. So the adversity part is very important.
It's huge.
Igor struggling, as much frustrating as it was, it's huge, because now you see Igor being Igor, the Rangers being up and down, the power play not producing, the top guys not producing, and all those things throughout the season. As it's frustrating for a fan, really it's important for a team to kind of go through that. And there's no,
Gotta learn how to get punched in the mouth.
yeah, I mean, yeah, 100%. The Colorado Avalanche learned that the hard way for how many years before they
Just
finally
like
put it together?
Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah. And one of the big reasons behind, where the Rangers have been and continue to be where they are, Artemi Panarin. I mean, the dude's a monster. It's not just the points producing that he said. I mentioned this yesterday to Nick. It's his tenacity on all sides of the puck.
Not quitting
Defensively,
on plays.
offensively, he's a monster out there almost pretty much every shift. And
He's been a difference maker.
to me, I don't know how he's not in the Hart conversation. I get it with Kucherov and others, but he's right up there. He's right up there to me.
To me, it goes back to, well, you want to see how big of a difference maker Artemi Panarin's been? Rewatch the Stadium Series game.
Was insane.
And he was the every time he was on the ice, he was a threat to make something happen. He was engaged on in all aspects of the game. Last night, I mean, he made the play at the blue line that led to Kreider's empty net tip-in. So, I mean, it's just he like last night there was another play in the corner where he got checked, he got knocked off the puck, and he rolled off the check and he stole the puck
Came
back.
back and got the puck. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Just
it's
an
like
unbelievable 200-foot player right now.
little things like that is absolutely huge, and it shows the level of buy-in and commitment that Panarin has and the belief he has in Peter Laviolette as his head coach. It reminds me of when Barry Trotz took the Caps to the Cup and he finally got Ovi to buy in to all playing all ends, all 200 feet of the ice. So it's that kind of same buy-in and belief that I'm seeing from Panarin, which is absolutely huge. Because even though he's not the captain, this team goes as Panarin goes. And if you get this Panarin in the playoffs, the Rangers, they definitely won't be a first round out like they were last year. They'll be destined for a deeper run.
Yes.
But it leads into like something that I had brought up last night, and I posted it on Twitter as I usually do because I use Twitter as a sounding board for my brain. And I had said to you last night during the game, there are five Rangers on this roster right now
Which I kind of questioned.
that I can see getting their numbers retired at the end of their careers. And we'll go through the five. Chris Kreider is a slam dunk, regardless of whether or not he wins a cup with the Rangers or not. It's a foregone conclusion. He's going to go down as one of the all-time greatest Rangers, even though that just absolutely makes me sick. That one's an empty netter, right? Then you move on. I think Adam Fox is on trajectory to have his number be the last 23 in Rangers history. Already got a Norris Trophy. He's been a multiple Norris Trophy finalist this young in his career. He's doing some pretty spectacular things. If he's a lifetime Ranger, there's no doubt in my mind he gets retired. Then we move on to Mika Zibanejad. His career has flourished since he's come to New York.
So that one I don't know about. That one I'm
See,
not.
this one I'm iffy on. I think he either needs a Stanley Cup with the Rangers to solidify that, or he needs to sign another contract when this one is done. He needs to play the rest of his career out with the Rangers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I that one I mean, and I love Mika. I just
But he's
I
had
don't
some
know.
he's had some pretty memorable moments as a Ranger.
He has. I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but I don't know.
All right, so there's three.
I don't know.
I think Shesterkin is on track to also have his number retired.
Probably
The
because he'll
problem that
probably be just behind Hank.
the well, I was going to say the problem that Shesterkin has, the one thing that the Rangers have throughout their history is great goaltending. All throughout Ranger history, great goaltending
Not
wherever
all
you look.
through. Not all through. Don't remember. Don't forget.
Well,
Don't forget, we didn't
okay.
just leap from Richter to Hank.
No, we didn't. But besides that, I mean,
Besides that blip, I mean, you know.
we didn't leap from Eddie Jochim to Mike Richter either. So it's kind of like,
No, but we did have, I mean, in that window, there was,
I mean, JD had his
JD was
little
an
run,
influence. Yeah, he
you
was a
know.
big part.
But I
But historically, the Rangers historically have had a
Yeah,
bevy of great goaltenders come
if
through
they're
the
not known for
organization.
anything else, they're known for goaltending.
Yeah, it was their great goaltending.
So Igor definitely has to put together a couple more fantastic seasons. I think if he wins another Vezina, it's a no doubt. I think if Igor wins another Vezina or wins a cup, it's a no doubt.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is too soon to talk about this stuff, but it's an
No,
interesting discussion.
I don't think so
But
because then look at our talent Panarin. Look at Panarin. Pull up Panarin's numbers. I know you can. Okay.
well,
And
Panarin's
Panarin was
getting
on track to put together one of the greatest seasons in Rangers history until COVID.
yep.
And I think people forget about that.
Yeah,
That
his tenure with the Rangers, his first year with the Rangers, 69 games, he put up 95 points.
Yeah.
32 goals, 63 assists. The next year, which was again was shortened because of COVID, 42 games,
58 and
58
42.
points. 21-22 season, 96 points. 22-23, 92. That was obviously last year. And this year he's already at 82 with 22 games to go.
So he's going to hit the 100-point mark this year
He's clipped his.
for the first time in his career.
And he's already cruising past his best goals, which was his first year with the Rangers, 32. He's at 35, and he's just. I mean, he could. The way he's shooting and the way he's playing, he could realistically His career, he shoots normally 14 and a half. This year, he's just above his best at 16.1. You could realistically say he could possibly hit 50 this year.
He has a chance to get close to, tying Kreider and Jager for the best goal scoring season in club history. And then he has a chance to do something that a Ranger forward hasn't done since Jaromir Jagr, and that's put up 100 points. And that was something that we hadn't seen since Mark Messier did it. So he has a chance to become a rarefied air in Rangers history with what he will be able to do. So if you're telling me right now, and then if he signs another contract after,
It just needed to translate in the playoffs. That's the big thing.
I agree. But let's be honest,
But I
though.
feel like this year is the year, if anything, because he's just been so different.
I firmly believe if he stays on this track and he signs another deal to stay with the Rangers after this one, he's going to go down as one of the top three greatest Rangers of all time.
Possibly. Very possible. For an undrafted player, too. Like we were talking about, we talked about last night, like the guy behind us was talking about like Pavelski and how, I mean, when Pavelski was being dangled, you and I were both like, you got to get little
We
job.
were
Like
all over
he's
that.
such a great player. And people are like, oh, he's on the back end, he's finished. And look at him now. Like the dude is unbelievable. Unbelievable player. Seventh round pick. Hank, late round, seventh round pick. I mean, you just look at some of these players that came through. And and then you look at like a guy like Panarin, undrafted. I
Yeah,
mean,
he's doing some pretty spectacular things. I definitely think it's a conversation for people to just consider.
oh,
Because
100%. Yeah, 100%.
I mean he's playing at almost a point and a half pace in his Ranger career. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
And
So
one of the things to before we jump into our big segment, which is going to be on the trade deadline, because that's all the fury right now. Something that I noted, Laviolette threw the basically what I just did threw the lines at the blenders yesterday, and it was getting weird. And we were sitting there going, "What the hell is going on here?" As the newfound I don't know what you want to call him, but Rempe, who has been terrific, has had a historic start to his NHL career for sure, has a black eye that is
has one of the greatest, but quite frankly, one of the greatest black eyes you'll ever see, quite
I
frankly.
mean it was like staring into darkness. Like staring into the abyss, looking at. I mean, we were set up and our seats are 220 row 5, and we're like, damn, that black eye is bad. Like, it is brutal. And I had joked and I said, it looks like Dan Girardi when Dan Girardi got the puck stuck under the visor. Like, that
I'll
looks
tell you,
like Refi right now.
you know what my favorite part though last night was? When Trocheck did not illegally hit Johnny Gaudreau.
So ridiculous. That was so ridiculous.
But when Rempe, because Rempe was actually in the offensive zone, and Rempe was actually trying to make a play in the offensive zone when the commotion was happening behind the play. And then when he saw what was happening behind the play, I loved how the Columbus players were literally like, no, big fella. No, please don't jump in.
That
Like,
was.
there. But no, it was when Rempe was on the ice for the Trocheck hit, and he was actually in the offensive
Yeah,
zone
but then
trying to make a play.
there was the other play in front of the crease too.
No, I, but what my favorite
Yeah,
part
it
was
didn't escalate. It didn't escalate.
when Rempe was skating back to try and get involved and get the guys off Trocheck, literally two Jackets players were sitting there holding Rempe back, like, no. Like, I was like, wow, this is. But then the best part was Ed Struben and Rempe on the ice, and Truba was on the ice at the same
With
time.
Truba,
And there
there
was a
was the
little
crowd at the
scrum in,
net.
and there was a little scrum in front of the net, and everybody saw who was on the Columbus saw who was
And it
on the ice,
just
and they were like,
stopped.
nope, never mind. We don't want
It
anything to smoke
literally
on this.
stopped immediately. I was laughing. I was like, that was the quickest dispersal of a scrum after the whistle that I have ever seen in my life. But that's huge. It's a huge part, you know. And a lot of people will say, "Oh, you don't need that type." I don't disagree. You don't need fighting in the game every game. You don't need to be doing that. And I think Rempe should not be fighting every game. I think
But what
he'll.
you need to be unfuck-withable.
You need that. You need that presence. And one of the things I think Edstrom also brings to the game really well is just this calmness on the ice and his
Yeah,
ability to just.
he never
He
looks
just.
rushed.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's just doing his thing and whatever. But you have now Trouba. You've got like a freight train. You went from having an express train on this team to having a freight train because you have Trouba, Rempe, and Edstrom and Cooley who will just bang bodies up and down guys. I would love to have Charles Barkley talk about.
Will Cooley, big fan of equality, by the way. Absolutely destroying Ivan Provorov.
Provorov.
And just lit him
That
up
actually, yeah, that
like
was
a.
another quote that everybody started
Oof.
losing their minds about.
Yeah, because I may or may not have yelled out when Cooley just absolutely blew up Provorov. And I told you it was coming too. Like I'm tracking the plays, it's coming down the
You
ice.
saw it coming.
And Cooley had already hit somebody once on that. I think he hit Provorov once already on that shift on a play in the corner. And then the play was coming back around. I said, look, he's going to go for him again. I'm like, and then he lights him up. And I just turned around, one for equality, Will Cooley. Like, just, and everybody just lost their minds laughing.
Oh God.
It
But
was good. It was good.
one of the things that yesterday did show with the Laviolette blender was that this lineup is very much set in stone. Kako on the top line,
Doesn't
it
work.
doesn't work. He defers too much. And his game is totally different. VC on the third line doesn't
Doesn't
work.
work.
The third line looked completely out of whack. Grudzinski
Yeah.
had his worst game as a Ranger by far,
Not my 3C
which
had a
Nick was
terrible game.
loving
Not
all up and down the game. Not my 3C, not my 3C.
my 3C.
But you noticed when Kako got dropped back down, he made that unbelievable spin play that
Yeah.
almost resulted in what would have been a freaking highlight reel play of the year. It might have been the play of the year.
Can I make a plea real quick? New York Rangers, I know you listen to this podcast. Don't say that you don't. I know you do. Okay? I am begging you. Lock Kaapo Kakko in a room and only allow him to watch Jaromír Jágr and Peter Forsberg tape. Please, and just have him copy everything that they do.
But yeah.
Because he has that kind of special ability to play that way and use his frame and use his reach. He just needs, like, I am begging the Rangers to hire Jágr to work with Kako in the summer. Please, please.
But you saw the third line was not working last night. The top line wasn't working with Kako. Kako, Cooley, Brodzinski as a unit, very blended, very, very solid. They've got to get that top line right wing and probably depth center, which is what we're going to talk about here right now. So with the roster and the lineup, like us saying, you got to keep the pieces where they need to be. Like you're not bringing up Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere. You're not breaking up Kreider and Mika. You're not breaking up, most likely not breaking up your third line. Your fourth line looks nice with the Rempire State Building and
The Twin Towers.
the Twin Towers, whatnot. I think that what was that Ferraro that quipped that one?
I
Think it
don't
was him. I
know.
think it was
I
Ray
have no
Ferraro.
idea. But if it was, I won't give him credit because I hate Ray Ferraro.
You have a glaring, like the hole at right wing, top line is so glaring that it's ridiculous.
It is like one former NHL goaltender once said, humongous big.
Yeah. And all the craze. I had joked a few weeks back and it said, Nick, we kicked off our TikTok with Adam Henrique, you are a Ranger. And I had said, as long as it comes with Vetrano. And Nick said, no. And then there's been, the Tarasenko return, which we find out apparently now, even though we thought because it was a new contract, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because he was already within 12 months of being on the roster. He cannot, we
Have
cannot have
salary
any
retained.
money retention. So,
So the Rangers would have to make so let's jump into the pieces that have been rumored. So Frank Vatrano, Adam Henrique is a big one, more so on Vatrano. There's the rumor of the talk of Buchnevich reunion. There's a talk of
that's not happening.
hold on, let me run through the names. There's the talk of a Tarasenko reunion. There's been other players that have been thrown out there. The duo in Nashville.
Tommy Novak.
Novak, yeah. There's been, the thoughts of could they possibly bring the Duke back? Duclair out of San Jose, which would be an interesting one. Do they go and grab, Yanni Gourde has been coming up a lot. Yanni Gourde, Jordan Eberle out of Seattle. There's a lot of names that are going around out there. There was the talk of, oh, well, the people, the belief that, oh, Patty Kane was going to come back or Patty Kane was going to get traded for, he ain't getting traded from Detroit now. That's not happening.
That was never going to
And
happen.
it wasn't going to happen. And Detroit is firmly, there's no way they could possibly
And
do
also,
stupid.
the last GM I want to deal with is Steve Yzerman.
Yeah, we don't need to deal with him anymore. He hurt us enough. But the big one that has picked up the most amount of steam, and I'm not even going to mention the Guentzel one with Pittsburgh because I think that was absolutely asinine. But the Vetrano, Verbeek in the building last night. Nick with his quips about Kako auditioning and Brzezinski, and that's why they played so bad.
Okay, wait, just indulge me for a second, okay? I am not one to believe in coincidence. I never have in anything in my life. I've
Oh,
never believed
there's no reason for Pat Verbeek to be there. No reason
in
at all.
Verbeek was there, and then the day before, the Rangers just so happened to put Kako back on the top line.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah, I
Now, to be fair, I don't think that if the Rangers make a deal for Vatrano and Henrique, I don't think Kako is the piece going the other way because I don't think Chris Drury is trading anybody off this roster that is right now a Stanley Cup contender and is one of the best teams in the entire NHL.
just for
So
the
you'd
reasons
be
we just talked about.
right.
You can't
So
put the lineup is loose.
you'd be opening a hole, you'd be filling two holes to create another one. So it just doesn't make sense from that point. The only way a Kako trade to Anaheim makes any kind of sense is if instead of Adam Henrique, the Rangers are trading for Trevor Zegras with Frank Vatrano. Zegras is the only I would put money on this. If Kako is going to Anaheim, it's because Trevor Zegras is included in the deal.
I mean, Zegras has come up a lot. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I honestly don't know
And
how I feel about that.
here's the one thing that I'll say too before people want to call me crazy. The Ducks traded one of their best young defensemen in Jamie Drysdale earlier this year. So I don't think that Pat Verbeek is not is against trading Trevor Zegras.
Well, and his name has come up that they've his
And
name has come
yeah,
up a bit.
his name has been out there. So
And where there's
you
smoke.
Now, if I'm the Rangers, the only way I'm trading Kako is if I am getting Zegras, because Zegras is a young, controllable asset. And this is something I put on Twitter the other day, because Greg Wyshynski, who people love, put out one of the dumbest suggestions I've ever seen in saying Vatrano and Henrique to the Rangers for Barkley Goodrow and Adam Sakura. And I damn near lost my mind, because Sakura is one of the Rangers' best young prospects. There is no way that you trade him for one a rental and then a 1 year rental in Vitrano,
Yeah.
because that's what they because Henrique will be gone after this year, Vitrano will be gone after the next year, and you do not give up a player like Sakura for guys who are rentals. You give up a guy like Sakura or a Brennan Hoffman if you are getting a young, controllable asset that will be here not only this year and next year, but 3, 4, 5 years down the road. So if
Why is
Drury,
Trevor Zegras not on the Ducks roster on NHL.com right now?
because he's hurt.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forget to take him down. That's right. I forgot that. I was just trying to look up his stats. Oh, there it is. Yeah,
So
I don't know, man. I don't.
I stand by the fact that Drury cannot look. The Rangers trading draft picks and trading first round picks right now makes all the sense in the world because of where the team is at, because of the mandate by James Dolan, because this team is believing that they can win a Stanley Cup this year. So you trading a first round pick this year, trading a first next year, no impact whatsoever. Where the Rangers and Chris Drury will really get into trouble, and where Drury can really sink this franchise, is if he trades picks plus prospects. Because if you're not gonna have first or second round picks for the next couple of years, you at least need to keep your cupboard full of young players that can come up and come through the pipeline. Use the Tampa Bay Lightning model. This is what Tampa, see, this is the thing, this is part of the reason why people don't understand how good and successful Tampa Bay and how they've been able to sustain their success. Because when they've made trades, they haven't depleted their top-end talent in the farm system. They also have a great culture in that organization of building players to take the next man's spot. So you need to copy that same model of, dude, we're in it to win. First round picks for us doesn't mean anything right now. But keeping, guys like Sakura and Berard and Othman and all these young guys, that's important. If you're gonna trade your draft picks, you cannot trade your prospects with them. And that's why it makes sense that if you're gonna make a blockbuster type of move, Kaapo Kakko is the guy that's going out the door. So
I just, I don't,
That's where I come out on this whole thing.
I don't, I don't, I don't, I don't know. My book is out on Trevor Zegras, and that may sound ignorant, and some people may be, what are you out of your freaking mind? I think it's a one-trick pony style and type, and I don't know if he's built for, I don't know if he's built for a contending team. I don't know.
I'll be
And it's
honest.
not because I'm not saying it as like a, oh, I hate the Michigan. It's not why.
It's it, but I'll also be fair too. It's really hard to get a fair judgment on Zegras right now because the talent pool in Anaheim is so bad.
I don't know. I that's fair. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, like there was the jokes with like Getzlaf and like videos and stuff that came out with them clowning and all that's whatever. I don't know. I just don't know. But you're right. It is it you can't fairly judge him really because he's been on I mean the lineups that he's been in are they're terrible. I mean the Ducks have been a terrible team. But he hasn't exactly done anything outside of the trick goals that I've seen, and granted, I mean it's a West Coast team, so that's also hard. But even, the limited time that we've seen them, against the Rangers, I haven't been like, wow. Like
But
last night, for instance, I said to you, I was like, wow, really haven't seen Cole Sillinger at all. There's
yeah,
been like
by
nothing but
the way, everyone boo this man. Boo him. Because literally, I'm not even kidding you. 30 seconds before they broke Igor's shutout, this dumbass sitting to my left, Cole Sillinger really hasn't been noticeable tonight.
And he
Puck goes
had it. He had not been at all.
behind the net. Igor misplays it. Comes right out to Cole Sillinger. Score!
I
And
know.
I just look at, I stare at Chris, and I'm just like, you just had to say it, didn't you?
I know.
Like,
And it was funny. And then like the rest of the game, he was all over the place. And I'm like, but that was one of those things. Like, you don't necessarily see that. I mean, I don't know. It just, yeah, it was just like, God, are you freaking kidding me? But I don't get that with, like, I know, and I'm not saying Vetrano is on the same level as Zegers. Vetrano is, his shooting percentage is ridiculous. He's wildly overproducing, but we've seen Vetrano. Vetrano has a track record. He has a track record from, before getting buried in the Florida Panther lineup, where he was tearing it up, where he first caught my eye. We know what he can do, and we know that he could slot up into that right wing and provide.
Problem that I have with Vetrano is he's literally a volume shooter.
But they need that on the top line right now. They kind of need that. Mika is deferring to Kreider too much.
I don't think they need a volume shooter. I think they need a play driver.
They
They
need a
need a
guy
play.
that will
They
that
need a
will.
they
But
need a
Vetrano
playmaker.
does. But Vetrano, not really, because that's Mika.
No, Mika's a finisher.
But Mika is deferring. Wait, he is forcing.
Right. Because he's trying to get everybody else going on that line.
But the problem is that you have, Kreider, who, if it's not just the tip, it's an anchor. And you have, so to me, you add a player like Vetrano, who's going to add an incredible amount of speed on that line, which is going to open up, which will provide a bit to open up more for Mika, and will also provide Kreider the ability to slot more into that net front presence. I feel like that works out really well.
See, that's why the guy I want for the rent for that top line.
I'd love to just have Buchnevich back, because that would be the perfect one.
No, there's somebody else that you're forgetting. Ex-Ranger too.
Well, Duclair.
Yep.
Duclair would be, yeah, but
That's
Duclair and Vetrano kind of have a little bit of the same. They're a little bit of the same kind of cloth.
a little bit, but Tony's a more sharpshooter and he's a lot faster. So he can see Tony has that mix of being able to be a playmaker and also a finisher because
He can kind of do a little bit of all of it.
he can back defenses off with his speed and that opens shooting lanes now for Zibanejad to rip them. So if it was up to me, if I was Chris Drury, I would trade for Adam Henrique for the third line center and bump Brodzinski down to the fourth line and make Matt Rempe your extra,
Or
that you
you
put in.
float it with whatever.
Right. And then I would have I would go to San Jose with Mike Greer and I would get Anthony Duclair for the top line.
I'm actually surprised that that hasn't been coming up more. Like, I'm really surprised that Duclair's name hasn't been more prominent. And I don't know, maybe the Sharks have no interest in trading him. I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, you're not building around. I mean, Duke's not—he's not old, but he's not young. Like, he's the perfect tradable asset to stockpile, and that's what the Sharks need to do desperately.
Because I just think right now Duclair with this lineup would be a perfect fit. Wouldn't command top power play minutes either, so you could slide him in on power play too without really disrupting anything. And then you have another shooting scoring threat on your second power play unit. So it for me, the perfect fit for the Rangers, if in a perfect world, if I was Chris Drury, I would add Adam Henrique for the third line center, and I would add Tony Duclair. And then if you want to add a depth defenseman as well. And the thing about Duclair is he's not going to cost huge assets. You might have to give up a first round pick for him. But I mean, if you're giving up a 2025 first round pick for a guy that you'll have that can really jolt your offense and give you that shot in the arm and wake up Mika Zibanejad, it's 100% worth it. I mean, look how good Duclair was last year for the Panthers.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I was shocked that the Panthers let him go. I know
So,
money wise and stuff like that, but I was really surprised to see the Panthers let him go. We thought he was one of their best players. He was one of their best players by far.
yeah, and he's shown that he can play with elite talent because he meshed with Sasha Barkov.
100%. No, I think, yeah, it's one of the names that you don't hear a lot, and I agree with you. I just think it's going to be Vetrano and Henrique is the likely, because I don't see how. I would love for them to work this out where they get Buchnevich back from St. Louis to kind of fix that mistake. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if they really can, because then you're gonna kind of be back in the same position after what, next year? Is it next year Buchnevich's contract is up, I think. So you're gonna kind of be back in the same thing where you're like, all right, what do we
Well,
do?
not even so much that. Armstrong wants two firsts for Buchnevich.
And
And he's worth it.
he is worth
He's
it. Yeah, he's 100% worth it. Especially
worth
if you're
it.
the Rangers, this is the period where, like you mentioned earlier about the Lightning, like there comes a point where you're a franchise and you're right there and you're in your window, and the Rangers are without right now. They're right there. They're right there. When we're talking like two pieces, and the rest of your lineup is as solid as it can be, you're right there. You pull out all the stops. This becomes a point where it's like, you know what? You don't necessarily go and do what the Rangers did in 94, because that was different. That was a team that hadn't won a Stanley Cup in 54 freaking years. That was a team that fell short, the promise of Messier coming in, and then they fall short and then they miss the playoffs. Then it's like the mantra is it's cup or bust. You
And then they
know,
were the
you.
best team in the league, and they were widely the best team in the league that in '94.
Yeah, you don't sell your soul to the devil like Neil Smith did, which in essence really cost the franchise more down the road, but you had to get the cup, right? I mean, you had to get
Well, see, I disagree. I don't think that deadline cost the franchise. It's what they did the off season that cost the
right, but
franchise.
still, like some of those there were a couple there that you kind of could say, well, whatever.
Well, the move that set the franchise back was trading Zubov. That
Yeah,
was
the Zubov trade, but that one was just absolutely stupid. And then, the Sakic Messier fiasco and all that nonsense.
But yeah, no, I see. But see, like, I think this year,
But the
if
Rangers
you're
don't have to go and try to semi blow things up like they kind of did in 94. I mean, they made major moves in 94. Trading
It,
Amonte and Doug Weight in itself.
well, Doug Weight was the year before,
Well, yeah,
but
trading Weight up, and then making the move where you ship out Amonte and Mike Gartner.
I Mike Gardner getting traded doesn't bother me, but the move that will be comparable to the '94 Rangers this year at the deadline is trade. This generation's Tony Amonte will be Brennan Othman if they move him. But like I said, if you're moving Othman, you have to get a young, controllable, top level prospect back in return.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, 100%.
So you can't trade Brennan Othman in a similar move of getting Mattoa Noonan. Like, it can't be we're going to trade Brennan Othman to the Minnesota Wild for Ryan Hartman.
Right.
That would be colossally stupid. As much as I like Ryan Hartman, he would help out the Rangers. You're not moving Brennan Othman for him.
No.
Like, if, before the
No,
talks
you
about,
do a trade like that, that's a mega trade. That's a mega deal.
like it would be if I'm moving Brennan Othman, the only deal I would really do it in is if I'm getting Jake Gensel back.
Yeah, which is not like in
No,
what world, but
I'm not saying
I
that's gonna
know.
happen. I'm saying, like,
But that's the
this,
big that's the rumor of how the
right.
Rangers could go get Gensel. The Penguins are never making that. There are some deals that you're never going to make.
Mario will never sign off on a deal that will help the New York Rangers win a Stanley Cup. It will never, ever, 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 ever. I have a better chance of getting Scarlett Johansson's phone number than Mario Lemieux ever making a trade to help the New York Rangers win a
This is
Stanley Cup.
not on. That's literally just putting crap out there. And look, I mean, we're nobodies, but that's literally just putting shit out there to just generate a traffic jam to somebody's site.
Well, it's just because the Rangers are a big name and everybody
Yeah,
knows
and
that
every
they're everything.
yeah,
But
any big
like,
name that comes out, they're like, oh, for the Rangers. Jake
it, you
Gensel
know.
will never be, unless he goes somewhere else and then gets flipped over, he will never. The Penguins are never making that move.
You know
Never.
who's kind of getting the Rangers' reputation too as big name hunters? Vegas.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look at what Vegas has done
But
every freaking
I'm
year.
saying, but all, like they've kind of earned that new, like
Yeah.
they're kind of, but
And you know, they've become like the better cap circumventers than the Tampa Bay Lightning.
you know the only other deal I would move Hoffman in, thinking about it right now. It would be tough because it would be hard to extend him given, you know, where the Rangers are at cap wise and some other moves that they have to make surrounding it. If this GM opens up the door and decides to make a move and dump Yanni Gourde, if I had to give up Brendan Hoffman to get Yanni Gourde, I'd do it.
Hoffman to get Yanni Gourde,
Yeah.
one for one.
Not one for one. I mean, there would be, but the asking price you know is going to be high. You know, it would probably start at Hoffman. Would you not want Yanni Gourde on this Ranger team?
I don't know for Hoffman though. I don't know. I don't know. That's an it. That's a. I don't.
Because
I
you know
like Yanni
why?
Gourde. Yanni Gourde, but I don't know. On your top line, right wing.
No, your third line center. And your third line becomes Will Cooley, Yanni Gourde, Barkley Goodrow.
It's a nice reunion of sorts, but I don't.
Dude, that's a hard third line to play against in the playoffs. You want to talk about piss and vinegar
Dude,
on the third
Barkley, yeah,
line?
but you know what though? Barkley's not Barkley. Barkley is not Barkley anymore. So I
You
don't
don't
agree
think
with that.
that getting Gourde would jumpstart him?
I don't know, dude. I think he has not recovered from his injury. And we mentioned this yesterday.
What about the third line then becomes Cooley, Gourde, Kapokako?
I mean, it could be interesting, but but still, you still have to make another move for your top line right wing. So what are you doing there?
Well, you know, and it would be cost prohibitive. There would be a lot of factors that go into. I'm just spitballing.
I don't know why I was thinking of Gourde on top line right wing, but enough centering, but
I'm just trying to spitball.
I look at it as the biggest glaring problem on this team right now. If you could sit and point to a problem, is they have got to get a top line right winger no matter what. And if you're making a deal with a Brendan Hoffman, if you're sending him packing or you're sending any of those guys packing, Sikora, whatever, it's to address that and that first. And then you figure out what you got to do from there on out. And that's where I think, you know, whatever deal they could work out has to be the top line right wing has to be the number one priority. It's that depth center and a depth defenseman. That to me is your thing. And then you figure out, you know, VC goes down to your fourth line and Rempe becomes your extra forward, or Edstrom becomes your extra forward, whatever out of the two, more than likely it'll be Rempe because I think Edstrom is a much better overall.
Right now, I think Rempe has a chance to develop his game and become better.
Oh yeah, I think Rempe could become a really I think I mean, you see it. He's not
And
just
he showed it last night against Columbus. When he's not worried about fighting, he's not a bad hockey player.
Yeah, but even in the games, even in every game that he's played in, he's been an impact. I mean, there's that line, that fourth line, those two are a pain in the ass to play against. I mean, they're giving everyone fits right now. And I don't know if it's just a recency thing because it's a new look, and eventually it'll get, you know, canceled out or whatever. But regardless, they've been great. To me, at the end of the day, it is top line right wing. Get the top line right wing that will allow Mika to stop having to try to force the puck to Kreider.
I'm on it. Bring back Tony Duclair.
I would love it. I would absolutely with the way Tony has developed. And granted, when he was a Ranger, it didn't work, right? JT
Well,
Miller
he
kind
was
of the
young.
same. He was
I mean, he
young.
was young.
JT
He
Miller,
was
you know, everybody says, "Oh, look what JT Miller is doing in Vancouver. Look how long it's taken." He went to Tampa. It wasn't working out in Tampa. He goes to Vancouver and it's clicked. And he's become one of the best players in the NHL. I mean, right? Duclair bounced all over the place. Tortorella in Columbus said he doesn't, you know, he just doesn't know if he knows how to freaking play hockey. He goes to Florida, figures it out.
Well, he
It took
actually went to
him,
Ottawa first. He figured it out
or he
in
went to Ottawa,
Ottawa.
yeah, figured it out, then goes, then gets sent, then is in Florida, you know, and has it going, and he's got it figured out. Some players just don't, they just don't get it right out the gate, and it's a hard development. And you know what? It's probably hard. I don't necessarily believe in the Ranger, the hockey market of New York is the problem with some of these guys. I just think it's New York in general, like the city. I think the environment and everything that's there and everything that's available and whatnot, it's different than any other, you know, who would be next up on that? Like outside of the pressures of playing in Montreal or Toronto, what,
Chicago,
Chicago or LA,
LA.
city-wise, you don't have that any really anywhere else. You really
I
don't. I
mean,
mean,
Tampa.
what, Nashville?
You can get in trouble in Tampa.
I know, but like, but I'm saying, like, there's so much to it.
Yeah.
There's so
I,
much more to it
but
than just, oh,
I am
it's the
now
hockey
I am
aspect.
last year I manifested Vladdy Tarasenko. The year before that, I manifested Andrew Copp and Tyler Motte.
Yeah.
So we are going to I'm going to
Oh,
focus my
you're putting the
I'm focusing I'm focusing
Well,
on
before
bringing
you
the
said
Duke.
Adam Henrique a couple episodes ago.
I said that back in what, December?
Yeah, I know. You've been saying it for a while.
Like that he was going to be a Ranger. So I think that one's pretty much foregone. I don't want Vetrano. I want two deals.
Gabagool.
I want Tony Duclair back, and I want Adam Henrique, third line center. Those are my two trades. That's what I want the Rangers to do, and I'm going to manifest that. I'm going to bring Tony Duclair back to the
You're gonna
world's
bring the
most
Duke
famous
home.
arena.
Bringing the
I'm going to
Duke
bring the
home.
Duke home, and everyone can thank me later.
There you go. We're just gonna end on that. Trade deadline is Friday, March 8th. Nick is like, oh, I'm gonna see Tony Duclair and Adam Henrique in
The
Broadway
next
blue against the Blues.
day, the next day. So, and Chris will be there with me. So when Rangers goal, his first as a New York Rangers, score right number 14, Adam Henrique, Chris can look at me
Am
very
I going to
upset.
that game now?
Yeah, because I can't bring
That's it.
Rowan. Rowan's not ready to go to the
All right, well,
game
then we
yet.
got an offline talk on that. Lot of Rangers hockey this month for us. It's good. This is the best part of the season, by the way, to like be going to the Garden a lot, because these are when the games start to get more.
Well, I had three games in February. I got two games in March, and I think we got one in April. I think we
Oh,
got
we got the end of the season. The
the blue shirts off our back
yeah,
team.
the final game. Yeah, final game of the season. So, all right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Go follow us on Instagram and Twitter. You'll find us 30 on Broadway on both, on TikTok. Sorry, TikTok, which we're having a lot of fun with that. That's been kind of fun, and the traffic's been on there, been awesome. But we need more followers, so like, follow, subscribe, all that fun stuff that all the, you know, people say.
And thank you to our loyal Johnny Brudzinski
Oh wait,
listeners.
yes, that's why. That's why I like him so much. Maybe that's why.
The loyal
Yeah,
22.
the 22. Probably gonna come out Friday, but I sent this to Nick, and Nick's like, "What the hell, waffles?"
Oh, God. Oh,
We're
Jesus.
going to test something. So with the season tickets that we have, the half season, we're potentially pushing up to full season for next year. But what I'm doing is I've got a set of tickets available for April 11th, I believe, against Philly. My last set of tickets that I have available that no one has picked up on. We're going to do a waffle. Just replace the W with an R. That's all it is. Nick's like, what do you mean? So you can get a 1 in 10 or a 2 in 10 if you want, because you can buy two. $35 a pick. You throw your number into the hat for a chance to win both tickets. It's section 220, row 5. They're great seats. It's the seats that we always post on everywhere. But we'll have more details on that coming up on Friday. So if you're listening to this podcast tomorrow or tonight or whatever, be on the lookout. You're only going to find that on social media. So you got to go find us on social media. So again, 30 on Broadway everywhere. We will talk to you guys next time.